As our brother Brian would say, as he'd be standing up here, he'd say, this is going to be a short preaching from a short preacher. Thank God. Today we're going to speak on pride. The 16th chapter of Proverbs talks about pride. In the 18th verse it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God sees pride as destruction. It's fine to have pride in your families, pride to have that pride in your church. To have pride in some things is a good thing. But not to the point where you would be as the Pharisees, many of the Pharisees were, pride only in themselves and push everyone else aside. In this 16th chapter of Proverbs, we'll begin with the first verse. 16th chapter of Proverbs, beginning with the first verse. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Sometimes you think, what I'm doing is as good as it's going to get. But in the eyes of the Lord, is it enough? Is it right? Is it what I'm supposed to be doing? These are the things that you and I have to be careful of. Pride. In the third verse it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Put everything in God's hands. Let him make the decisions for you. Let him open and close the things that are supposed to be worked upon. Don't put your own ideas in first and then say, Lord, I made a mistake. Let me go back and fix it. Leave it in his hands, first of all. And when the project is finished, you say, thank you, Lord. And don't take credit for yourself and say, wow, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. No. The glory belongs to him. First and foremost, it's good to have pride in things you do. I don't say it's not right to have pride in things you do, or pride in your family, or pride in the church. These are all good. But the pride of life can be condemning. First, it's pride. Then it's vainglory. Then your attitude changes. And then pretty soon, even if somebody else is making a good step forward, you say, well, he can't get in front of me. And other things pop in. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins, and it's the most deadliest. Because it brings out the rest. Hatred. Wrath. Envy. All these things. And they don't even mention murder. Because these things can lead to that too. As it did with Cain and Abel. Abel's gift to God, his sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was not. Because Abel was a righteous man. And Cain, seeing this, he hated his brother. And that hatred turned to wrath and envy and anger and pride in himself. I'm just as good as he is. And it turned to murder. He killed his brother. God knew this. And when God went to him and asked, "Where's your brother Abel?" He gives a snotty answer. "What am I, my brother's keeper?" Well, he goes where he wants. I can't tell him where to go. But God had already heard Abel's blood crying from the ground. Dear ones, think about it. Pride. Pride can be such a dastardly thing. God knows each and every one of our hearts. When you get up in the morning, go to the Lord in prayer. Tell him to take away these things from your heart and your mind and just put the things of God in them. This is what's important. In the fourth verse, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. It's an abomination before God. Some people can't see it. But when you're a prideful person, God sees it. He can look at you and say, "This man has changed. This man has gone his own way. He's taken the other road because he thinks he can do things without me." Well, dear ones, we got a rude awakening coming if we think we can do something without God. He brought us into this world and he sure can take us out. We have to be careful. We have to wait upon him for all things. And he tells us in this particular chapter, sixth verse says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." If you fear God, you're going to obey him. If you obey him, you're going to do what's right. And then pride is on the back burner. We don't have to worry about it. King Saul was prideful, not in the beginning. He was anointed by God. He was a righteous man. He was made king. But as time went on, he began to see, wow, the people come after me, they look for my decisions, they bring me gold, I have all this wealth. I have everything I want. But God began to see the difference in Saul. What did he do? God anointed David because David had God's own heart. But he couldn't touch Saul. He couldn't take over and be king. He had to wait until the time was right. But Saul went after David. His pride and envy and wrath and anger got the best of him. And he sent them out to kill him. David had an opportunity to kill Saul. He even took a portion of his garment to show him. He could have took his life, but it wouldn't have been God's will. God will take us down if we put pride first in our life. It's so important. So important to put God first. The 18th verse says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." The Pharisees always looked at the publicans and all the common folk as nothing. They were always at the top of the ladder. They were always first. Even when they prayed standing in the synagogue. They prayed standing because they felt they were worthy to do so. "Lord, look at all I've done for you. Look what I did here. Look what I did there. And I tithe and I fast and I do this and I do that." Pride. Where the publican is, he's sitting off in a corner, not even able to look up because he feels so unworthy. "Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." Which prayer did God accept? The prayer of the humble. He knows you mean business. He knows your hearts, dear ones. He knows what you're trying to do. But the proud, he casts them aside. The 20th verse says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and add learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Speaking the words of wisdom, speaking the words of humility, all these things put before the Lord are sweet, sweet smelling. Your testimonies before God are sweet smelling savor to our God's nostrils. He wants to hear the praises of your lips. He wants to hear the praises of your heart. Not that you have something that somebody else don't have. Would you get up and give a testimony and say, "I've got this and I've got that and I got this and I did that and I did..." Where's the praise to God? Do you leave it in your billfold? Dear ones, we have to be careful. Careful not to be prideful. That's the main word there, prideful. I ask God every day, please, please, Lord, I'm not a man who can speak. I'm not a man who can do anything without your help. Any one of us here that thinks he can do something without God, you got another thing coming. The 27th verse says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A burning fire. An ungodly man, evil things, that's what's on his lips. That's what's in his heart. If you meet a Christian on the street and you begin to talk with that man, you're not going to hear a dirty joke. You're going to be talking about pleasant things, things of the Lord, things about your families. Not, hey, I heard a good one. No. You want a pat on the back because you can say something funny and dirty? God don't want to hear that. He wants to hear good things. Good things. What God has done for you. My son was in an accident and God really protected him. My daughter's going through something terrible and the Lord took such good care of her. Not I, and me. But you, Lord, you're on the throne. You're on the throne, Lord. Let us remember that we're nothing. Nothing. You know, sometimes God is willing to give us so much, but a lot of times we are kind of reluctant to ask for anything. But I remember a man speaking one time, and he said this little story, how a man went to heaven, and Peter met him at the gate, and he told him, come in, I want to show you this room. And he took him into a room, showed him all these filing cabinets and everything. And he says, well, what is this, all the history? And he says, no, there's one there with your name on it. There was this huge cabinet. And he went in, he opened the drawers. He said, well, it's got my name on all this stuff. And he says, yeah. He said, well, what is it? He says, these are all the things God is willing to give you if you asked, but you never asked. God wants to do so much for us. He wants to do many things for us. Just lift your voice and ask. Ask him. These are all his promises. If they are things that God wants us to have, you'll have them, believe me. Those filing cabinets are full if you ask. Lord, give me a gift, something I can do for you. Give me a gift, a song I could sing to you in praise, a testimony I can give. This is a gift. Something I can do for you, Lord. Visit the sick. Go out and help. Do something for someone. These are all the gifts that God wants to give us. Just be willing to accept them and do them. These are the important things. He loves us so much. He gave Christ for us. Sometimes I think God was so fed up with the way the Israelites were for so many years, 40 years out in the wilderness, and he couldn't get them straightened out. And then after the floods and all these things, he just couldn't get people straight. They kept falling back into idolatry. They kept falling back into lustful things. I think he felt like, I can't look at these people anymore. Jesus, you have to go down. You got to take care of this. I'm going to put you in front of me so that I don't have to look at their faces anymore. And only through Jesus Christ can we go to God now. He can't look at us personally because we have sin in our lives. Jesus Christ is our passport to eternity. It's hard for God to look at us because we're sinful people. Turn your eyes upon him today. Look for the gifts he's willing to give you. And if there's any pride in your life whatsoever, I'm not saying you're prideful people. I'm just giving you what God gave me this morning. But throw it out with the garbage. We don't need it. We don't need it. We need our Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord be praised.